Good morning, everyone. Now, let us begin our financial result presentation for the first half of the fiscal 2018. We will give you the overview first, then take questions from the floor. The top line was 168.2 billion yen, a 0.1% increase against the revised forecast announced in July. We are on track. Royalty income from HIV franchise was 57.1 billion yen, an increase of 23.5%. There was a concern in the market that our HIV franchise, or ViiV, might slow down after the launch of Biktarvy in February, but the business has been growing steadily, and it grew in line with our initial plan at around positive 20%-25% year-on-year. As you can see, 32.6 billion in the second quarter was record high. The number of prescriptions is flat, even with Biktarvy. Operating profit was 57.3 billion, an increase of 2.8% year-on-year. Ordinary profit was 70.1 billion yen, an increase of 6.8% year-on-year, and profit attributable to owners of equity was 57.9 billion yen, an increase of 15% year-on-year. As you can see on the right, we achieved record high results. As there are more generic drugs of Crestor and Ilbetter families available in Japan, we lost 23.5 billion yen of sales year-on-year. Actually, 75% of Crestor was now replaced by generic products. We knew we would struggle with our top line, especially during the first half of this fiscal year. At the same time, we needed to invest for our future after 2019. Our plan was to spend 15 billion in the first half and 5 billion in the second half, a total of 20 billion yen as a strategic business investment. That is why we had told you that our profit would decline before, but we managed to increase profit instead. As you can see on the right, the consolidated sales declined by 4 billion year-on-year. However, profits increased respectively by 1.5 billion, 4.5 billion, and 7.6 billion year-on-year. Profit attributable to owners of parent increased a lot because we received more dividend than planned from ViiV in the first quarter due to the threshold. Higher dividend income lowers our effective tax rate, which led to a significant increase at the bottom. Now, P&L. I would like to highlight the achievement ratio against the first half target, the fourth column from the left. Achievement ratio of sales was almost 100%, but the COGS was 93.3%. You may be right in saying that the first half forecast was too conservative, but there were issues of Crestor, Ilbetter, and NHI drug price revision in Japan. Accordingly, sales of others, which include item with relatively higher cost, declined. Therefore, the achievement ratio of cost of sales was 93.3%, and that of gross profit was 101.4%, which was higher than the sales achievement ratio. SG&A expense achievement ratio was 92.2%, selling and administrative expense was 91.4%, and R&D expense was 93.1%. As you can see on the right, SG&A expenses as a total increased almost by 10 billion, and the strategic investment increased by 13.1 billion. I will talk more about this later, but we concluded four deals as we planned during the first half after tough negotiations, and accordingly, we were able to conclude these deals reasonably. As a result, operating profit was 57.3 billion, with the achievement ratio of 120%. profit attributable to owners of parent was 57.9 billion, with the achievement ratio of  119%. Now, year-on-year comparison and main variation factors. The shortfall of sales was only 4 billion yen. We were so close, but we were not able to cover the negative impact of CRESTOR and IRBITAN. However, we received income from Roche for XOFLUZA ahead of schedule, which was helpful. We spent more selling and administrative expenses as an investment to maximize the opportunities from our new products. Non-operating income includes dividend. Extraordinary income and expenses include the impact from the sales of CNO factory, and the gain from selling the plant was booked as extraordinary income. As a result, the progress versus first half forecast was roughly around  90%-93%. Sales by segment. Sales of prescription drugs were down by 23.2 billion, as you can see on the right. Sales of CRESTOR and IRBITAN were down by 21.5 billion, and sales of other items also declined as well. So the negative impact mostly came from generic and drug price revision. I will talk more about our new drugs, but they are growing steadily, although the momentum was not enough to offset the loss from other products. In the overseas subsidiaries segment, Shionogi Inc. had one-off income of 4 billion for SYMPROIC. Originally, we planned to spend on SG&A to work aggressively with Purdue, but now we hire our own MRs, so the spending is rather modest. Contract manufacturing may seem to have dropped significantly, but we completed shipment of dolutegravir at the end of March based on the request from ViiV, so this is within the normal range. HIV franchise income in royalty segment increased by 10.9 billion. Others was 24.2 billion against the first half forecast of 21 billion, an increase of 3.2 billion, most of which came from Roche for the clinical study we did for them and for the filing milestone. I would like to skip this part as I already explained, but overall, the first half financial result was relatively strong. Achievement of sales of CYMBALTA was 98.4% against the first half forecast. I'm dissatisfied with the result as we were so close to the forecast. The year-on-year increase was about 2%. The drug price was cut by 14.4%, so the volume grew by roughly 16%. We are keeping good performance, especially in the pain area. INTUNIV sales grew 3.5 times. We believe INTUNIV will overachieve our full-year sales forecast, but so far, 2.4 billion yen. Now, XOFLUZA. The flu season finished very quickly this year in April, and the market almost disappeared. According to some data, our market share of XOFLUZA is around 65% to 70%. Therefore, we believe the market accepted the drug well. CRESTOR declined by 16.8 billion, IRBITAN down by 4.7 billion, and others down by 3.7 billion. An increase of 2 billion yen from the new product sales was not enough to offset the decline. As I mentioned earlier, CYMBALTA grew 16% and INTUNIV sales grew 3.5 times. Doctors are saying our drug is easy to use, as the prescription period has been extended to 4 weeks since June 1st. As you can see here in opioid family, SYMPROIC has been doing well, but OxyContin sales declined due to generic drugs. On the other hand, switching to OxyContin TR is progressing in line with our plan. The achievement of influenza family is about 65 to 70%. We sold our new product fairly well. Now, basic growth strategy for fiscal 2018. Our domestic sales were relatively positive. In the U.S., we initiated our own marketing for Simproic and Mulpleta, and we had a good start, especially with Mulpleta. We also made strategic investment. As we finished the Xofluza HR study earlier than planned, we managed the cost to a reasonable level. We accelerated our reform to enhance sales capability, and our members share the same view towards that direction at Shionogi. The result of the high-risk study was almost the same as that of the otherwise healthy study. As you can see the result of global study in the right bottom, there were a lot of type B, which characterizes Xofluza. Next. Likewise, time to improvement of influenza symptoms was almost the same as in the otherwise healthy study. But as you can see here, the red line seems to be slightly lower, but it is not statistically significant. However, in the study of patients with type B virus, it was statistically significant with oseltamivir. As a result, there are three findings as shown here. One is that Xofluza significantly reduced the length of time that the virus continued to be released from the body in comparison with placebo and oseltamivir. Also, Xofluza significantly reduced the incidence of influenza-related complications in comparison with placebo. We received an approval from FDA on October 24th, 2 months earlier than expected, mainly due to its safety profile. Tamiflu and Relenza are highly recognized for the safety, and Xofluza's safety level is almost the same or even better. Roche is planning to file for expanding the label for patients at a high risk for influenza-related complications. Again, the approval process was very fast. After the end of phase 2, we took the lead and accompanied Roche to the pre-NDA meeting. In the very beginning, FDA already told us that the approval timing could be earlier. We received an approval on October 24th, only 6 months after the filing and 2 months earlier than our plan. FDA had a lot of expectation on the drug. As you can see at the bottom, Roche announced in October that they expect peak revenue from Xofluza to be over 100 billion yen. Roche showed its commitment to Xofluza as one of the major contributors to sales, which is very encouraging. Next. Mulpleta was launched on October 30th, with a limited number of MRs. We have some rival products, but as you can see on the right, there is no need to change the dose depending upon the platelet count, and there is no interaction with food. There are great benefits to the patients, and we are appealing such points. In summary, we'd like to establish hospital specialty sales base in the U.S. market, along with Cefiderocol. So this is the first one. The following four projects are in line with our original schedule. Siri and Nemesis are to fulfill our research pipeline for the future. This is a very interesting new antidepressant that is designated as a breakthrough therapy. We are very excited about it. We assume generic drugs of Cymbalta will become available in the market after 2020. Therefore, we'd like to launch this product beforehand. We have been discussing a lot on the necessary production capacity in the regenerative medicine area, such as ESL and iPS cell. But when we think about the future of healthcare, it is important to have an experience in cell therapy. Roto made a significant effort in producing high-quality cell cost-effectively. Therefore, we'd like to take over their phase 1.
Various minor but active measures were taken for the future of Shionogi Healthcare, which runs OTC business. In particular, under the strategic collaboration with Roto at the top, Roto owns part of our shares and sends its board members to Shionogi. Roto is currently struggling with its OTC business, including eye drops and Pansarin. Through our collaboration, we'd like to create new business opportunities to make 1 plus 1 not 2 but 3 for the two companies. In tandem, we have acquired almost the entire infrastructure of mail order business from Takara. Now I'd like to move on to financial forecast for fiscal 2018. In addition to the first revision announced on July 23rd, we made another revision on October 29th to reflect earlier than expected approval in the U.S., as well as additional investments that we anticipate in the second half. We increased R&D expenses to reflect additional costs incurred in preparation for Sage phase I to early phase II clinical studies. Accordingly, further revision was made to our forecast. Compared to the upward revisions made in the first half, revised figures for the second half are indeed conservative, as some critics say. While we are fully aware of such criticism, we believe they missed the point. Our actual figures have always exceeded our revised forecast since 2012. Although no one knows what lies ahead in the next 6 months, unless something extraordinary happens, we are confident that we will hit the target that have been set by the revision this time. Of course, our internal targets are much higher than the official figures shown here. Next, statement of income. On selling and administrative expense, selling expenses was revised slightly upward. Meanwhile, strategic investment landed at 13.1 billion compared to 15 billion budgeted for the first half. The savings will be spent on clinical studies, including the one for SAGE-217, to accelerate the progress. All income lines below operating income are up 4 billion to 4.5 billion, which is a significant increase from the original forecast announced in May, shown on the left. Ordinary income and profit attributable to owners of parent are up 8.1 billion and 7.5 billion, respectively. With these as a starting point, we will aim even further as our internal goal. Next, sales by segment. Sales of prescription drugs in Japan slightly fell short of the target. However, we expect that Xofluza and other new products will steadily grow in the second half. Meanwhile, with the launch of Crestor AG last September, we suffered a lot in October and November. We suffered even more since December with the advent of generic drugs, but the impact will be subsiding. In year-on-year comparison for the second half, we are aiming to grow our revenue quite dramatically. As for Shionogi Inc., especially with Osfina, we are reflecting our results in the first half and discussing efforts to be made in the second half with Dushine. We'd like to take advantage of an expected approval for dryness to boost our efforts. I will come back to this point later. Other royalty income of 5.2 billion and contracting manufacturing of 0.8 billion were both generated by Xofluza. The product was approved ahead of schedule. We originally expected to hear the decision sometime after early January and created a conservative timeline accordingly. But Roche is ready to launch the product as early as early November. Based on the accelerated timeline, we are currently expecting to receive both formulation exports as well as an approval milestone from Roche ahead of schedule. Those were reflected in the revised sales figures. One thing to note, however, is that there is always a three-month lag time in royalty payment. For example, royalty based on sales figure for the third quarter or October-December period will be received in February next year. Because it is hard to predict the level of market acceptance as well as Roche's effort to be made in November and December, the forecast for the second half does not include any Roche royalty payments during the period. For the January to March period, we are to receive the royalty in May, which falls outside this fiscal year. For the November to December period, we are expecting to receive a sales-based royalty in February. We wish Roche to do well with its sales. From here, I'd like to share our detailed business plan for the second half of fiscal 2018. For the Japan business, we focus all our efforts on new products such as Cymbalta, Intuniv, and influenza family. As flu season peaks during the second half of the year, we aim for a significant revenue increase. For the overseas business, Mupleta has been launched in U.S., and Cefiderocol is expected to make NDA submissions by the end of this calendar year. We'd like to establish a presence by utilizing Mupleta and Cefiderocol in the hospital specialty market. In addition, Synproic, which is temporarily using a CSO, may need to seek a partner going forward. Thus, we are examining the possibility right now. R&D has eight high-priority projects, comprising seven ongoing projects and in-licensing from Sage. We'd like to further those projects ahead of schedule. We are making steady progress so far. Although there is variance among products, we'd like to achieve a 2.1 billion sales increase with new products in the second half to offset the shortage in the first half. The Japan business is at last recovering and reinvigorated. No matter how much we grow our new products, we found it very hard to compensate the loss of 75% of Crestor business, which used to generate peak sales of 50 billion a year. Sales personnel could not cast away some persistent gloomy feeling up until September. Now, sales reps started to feel that their efforts are finally paying off and that they are contributing to sales increase. From the second half of this fiscal year toward next year, we expect to increase sales for the Japan business. As the slide shows, we face challenges with Erbitin, iMix generic, and Crestor between the fourth quarter and the first quarter. We finally reached a stage where our efforts are paying off for the domestic business. Our sales reps regained vigor and enthusiasm after a long time. Xofluza, Cymbalta, and Intuniv are the three major growth drivers, which require full participation. Meanwhile, Mupleta and Prespa were found to have very limited number of prescribing doctors. In the past, we have not considered allocating therapeutic area-specific sales reps. Because Mupleta and Prespa are important products, we decided to appoint specialized sales reps and newly set up specialty product office to promote those products across Japan. Although it is only at the end of October, the new system is already delivering solid results. Next is overseas business. As I mentioned earlier, Cefiderocol is expected to be approved next August at the current pace. We are considering how to promote this product. Synproic has been shifted to self-promotion, but we feel that it is slightly different from the hospital specialty market. The use of opioids themselves remains substantially suppressed in the U.S. While monitoring at what timing Synproic starts to grow, we are in process of selecting a new business partner. With Mupleta and Osfina, we need to grow top line for those two products in order to grow our business. Thus, we are focusing on those two. Under R&D, we have initiated 7+1 high-priority projects. The fifth one from the top, S812217, started a phase I study on depression and depressive state. The other seven projects are making steady progress. In particular, the third one from the top, S600918, is expecting results for the phase II study on refractory and chronic cough by the end of the year. When we planned a clinical study in Japan, we were surprised to hear physicians' comments because they say that there would be so many patients. In fact, the enrollment has been very smooth. We initially did not expect that many patients, but it turns out that there are many. So the enrollment has been progressing ahead of schedule. Thus, S600918 will have results for the phase II study by the year-end.
Spark,
or Shionogi Pharmaceutical Research Division, has major projects for vaccine adjuvants and peptide therapeutics, both of which are medium to large molecules. In April, new divisions were set up for large and medium molecules, respectively, to accelerate the progress. Let me briefly touch upon HIV franchise. Yesterday, LATE-2 168-week data became available. HIV franchise, including injectables, is going very well. Especially with dolutegravir plus 3TC, we made MAA, NDA submissions and expecting a first-track review by using a priority review voucher. At this stage, we are on par with Victavi. Once 3TC DTG is launched, cabotegravir will follow. As our competition is unable to catch up in this arena, we can truly differentiate ourselves. In summary, DTG, 3TC will be launched in 2019. Unlike Juluca, which was originally intended for experienced patients only, the 3TC combination can be administered to both naive and experienced patients. Cabotegravir plus rilpivirine will be extending its injection interval to 1 month and then to 2 months. With LATE-2, which is already showing excellent results, and naive data, which will soon be available, injectables are drawing attention as a new option for HIV patients. We can never fully understand how HIV patients must feel. However, a monthly or bimonthly hospital visit could greatly enhance their convenience. Above all, as in the two boxes on the top right, having to take medication daily is a constant reminder of being HIV patients. To do away with the forceful reminder will be significant for the patients. As was the case for preventative administration of Truvada, uninfected individuals need to remain on oral medication by keeping a pill case handy at all times. This would naturally provoke suspicion that you may be infected with HIV. Cabotegravir can help reducing such pressure by requiring injection every 3 months for prevention. This will enable protecting patients' privacy throughout all phases of treatment, including preventative administration. We see immense unmet medical needs here, and we would like to clearly promote this differentiating factor through VEEV. Finally, shareholder return. Our proposed interim dividend is 44 yen, up 6 yen. We have maintained our guiding philosophy of not cutting dividend. Based on last year's year-end dividend of 44 yen, we will maintain the same level throughout this year to propose our year-end dividend of 88 yen at this stage. Our overall business is making steady progress. Considering its progression from 62 to 72 to 82 in the past, we'd like to revisit our business results once again at year-end to review and finalize our year-end dividend. We will continue monitoring the situation on this matter. We would like to keep buying back our shares within the range. With that, I'd like to conclude my presentation on the financial results for the first half of fiscal 2018. Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Hi, this is Yamaguchi, Citigroup. What is your outlook for the HIV market and your share in 2 to 3 years after the launch of 2-drug combination and injection? And your result was slightly less than your plan recently. Why is that? The U.S. HIV market accounts for 2/3 of the anti-HIV segment. Price is very high, and especially the WAC price of 3-drug combination ranges from 36,000 to almost 40,000 per year, so it is a heavy burden annually for patients. Atripla's generic dosage is 2 tablets, and payer side is forcing to switch the medication to generic. To be honest, Gilead and ViiV do not want to lower the price easily, and they are always worried that a resistance may be expressed for anti-HIV drug. It will be very hard if the profit structure does not allow us to invest in R&D. It is difficult to make an accurate assumption for the outlook, but we think a turning point will be 3TC combination. We have spent an extra effort for developing a combination drug, but it may not be the same pricing as the new drug combinations, for example, like combination of Bictegravir and Descovy. ViiV is currently considering pricing, and if the price is lowered, there is a strong trust for the safety of Dolutegravir. The drug is used for 6 years already, so we can take the share. As we have been always saying, ViiV will target sales of $7 to $8 billion, including cabotegravir, if the price and the market share of 25% to 30% remain unchanged. Or, even if the price is lowered but market share increased to 40% to 45%, the same level of sales will be achieved. Our royalty income will be $1.5 billion, which is our baseline. Recently, Gilead is thinking about making old drugs cheaper by having a contract with payer side, except for Biktarvy. Our understanding is that they already started selling them. As HIV market is not growing so much, you may think we are slowing down a little, but ViiV is saying that they will catch up in December quarter. So we trust them and monitor the situation. Xofluza is progressing ahead of schedule, and that is why our outlook on you is positive. You said you will receive income of roughly $15 to $20 billion annually over the 3 years. Does the total amount increase according to the accelerated development schedule, or is there any shift in booking timing? To be honest, we have more this year and accordingly a little less next year. In the beginning, we thought approval milestone might come during the next fiscal year. That is why we set one-third of 50 billion to come every year. But the progress is steady, and this year we receive more and therefore less next year. But we will start selling earlier, so we will receive a sales royalty ahead of schedule.
Hello, I'm Seki, UBS. Three questions. First, congratulations on the approval of Xofluza. The annual WAC price is the same as Tamiflu in the U.S. I thought the price could be higher, so what is the reasons behind this? And regarding the requirement from FDA, I guess you have to submit the report every year, but can you please give me more details?
Roche's idea is that the clinical symptoms of otherwise healthy study is the most appealing point to the doctors. That is where we'd like to start. We are aiming at filing for an approval in the area of preventive medications and virus shedding. We'll be filing for high-risk population at the end of this year. Then we can clearly differentiate the drug from Tamiflu. That is the starting point, and we will revisit the price once we have new indication.
There is nothing to hide, so I'd like to comment on pediatrics. We partially discovered mutations of I38 appealing on the 6th and 7th day. We need to carefully determine its pathogenicity. FDA and we have no concerns in the adults. But we'd like to discuss what would be the best for a pediatrics application. Incidentally, it is very clear in type B. We asked to describe both type A and B in the label, but FDA wants to proceed with normal labeling as Tamiflu doesn't specify the types either. We prioritized the approval timing, so we accepted the FDA comment.
Thank you. My second question is on the relationship with the healthcare professionals. There was an update on October 2nd. I think this has been GSK's issue during the past several years, but now it has been officially changed. What kind of impact do you expect, especially against Gilead?
I cannot speak on behalf of GSK for everything, but they did not pay the doctors even when the topic was about diseases and patients, not about drugs. Therefore, doctors in Japan and the U.S. didn't want to join. Now the decision was made by EMA 1-3, and it will make a progress. Regardless of whether they spend money around like Gilead, I think the impression of doctors will change in a great deal. So we have a great expectation. There was no payment to the doctors in Japan. So GSK's MD was speaking in the seminar. So it was difficult to attract audience as the doctors were not willing to listen to the presentation by the same doctor every time. Now this time, opinion leaders are going to be invited to the seminars. So it is going to be changed.
Thank you, and my third question is about the midterm profit growth outlook. I don't think you expect HIV royalty income to grow so fast, and we were not sure how popular Xofluza will be. As you mentioned, you will lose royalty income from Roche at milestones of R&D achievement for Xofluza in 2 years. And you will lose most of royalty income from AstraZeneca for Crestor in 3 years. Therefore, it is difficult to understand what actually drives your growth. Can you please comment?
You are right, Mr. Seki, and we are aware of that as well. That is why we identified 7 projects and added Sage as the 8th project. And we are hoping to launch the drug at the earliest timing. PMDA gave a very favorable comment on this drug. We may make it in time before the expiration of patent of Sainbalta, if everything goes well. We are hoping to grow our sales accordingly and change the sales mix. We think HIV sales will grow 10% after the next fiscal year. But afterwards, we are not sure whether the market will accept cabotegravir, and we haven't incorporated this in our plan yet. That will affect our sales and profit structure after 2020. We need to strive to build our pillars for 2020 and 2021. Thank you. Hashiguchi, Daiwa Securities. My question is about domestic sales structure. My understanding is that your policy is not to have MRs specialized in certain areas. Are these two products special, or has your policy changed? If your policy changed, is it due to the change in the environment, or does that reflect the fact that Shionogi's positioning has changed? These two products are special. As I mentioned earlier, General MRs will be visiting all the doctors for Cymbalta, Intranef, and the influenza family, including Xofluza. But Mulupleta and Pyrespa are targeting highly specialized doctors at large hospitals. Therefore, we need to assign MRs who are capable of having deep conversation on the topic with the doctors. Therefore, these two products are special, and it is not because we changed our policy. Thank you, that's all.
I am Sakai from Credit Suisse. If my calculation is correct, it is rather a downward revision of the forecast for the second half. In your presentation, you mentioned that you deliberately presented those official figures to leave room for further efforts. Do I understand it correctly? If the answer is yes, what is remaining as a cushion, especially with the profit? I believe that our competitors are using the same approach. Expense-wise, we first gather forecasts from each division under the categories of SG&A, R&D, and others. After consolidating them, the headquarters hold internal discussions to finalize each expense. That is our approach. I may be too candid in saying this, but some departments added the shortfall in the first half to be spent in the second half. Thus, their figures are seemingly unattainable in my view. With the same level of activity, how can one exhaust the shortfalls reported in the first half during the second half? The answer is highly unlikely. However, because each division showed strong commitment to their stretched target, we partly accepted their figures. I personally believe that it is more realistic to say our forecast will remain in line with the original one for the second half. I understand. I have two more questions. One is pertaining to the pipeline. Cabotegravir, in combination with rilpivirine, will be given as two shots, causing quite a level of pain, as shown in the latte results. Will there be any possibility to improve it? For example, can it be administered as one shot instead of two? Johnson & Johnson discloses virtually no data on a highly specialized formulation they developed for rilpivirine. Thus, at this stage, the formulation has to be separate two intramuscular shots. Given the injection amount, which is not so small, it must provoke substantial pain. Yet patients tell us that it is still better than having to take medications daily, and that explains why the product has been well received so far. Having said that though, we cannot envision a one-shot injectable as long as rilpivirine is chosen for the partner compound. Thus, we need to explore the possibility of other partner compounds. This is also true for our new anti-HIV drug. GSK and Shionogi are doing their utmost to develop partner compounds in order to maximize the potential of cabotegravir. Therefore, I believe that cabotegravir plus rilpivirin will maintain its current formulation for the time being. Thank you. My last question is on SAGE. You cancelled your scheduled briefing on this subject because I hear there another antidepressant, brexanolone, was presented to an advisory committee, which necessitated the entire company to observe a quiet period. Are you planning to reschedule the briefing in the future? Yes, we will definitely hold a briefing. Jeff Jonas, CEO of Sage, called me to apologize for the cancellation. He said that the company is in limbo until brexanolone is put before advisory committee. Once that is over, he will come to Japan as soon as possible to brief you on the matter. Are you planning to in-license brexanolone in the future? Yes, we are. As we mentioned earlier, oral SAGE 217 will not only succeed Cymbalta, but also quickly achieves remission at a remarkable remission rate of around 65% to 67%. During our negotiation, brexanolone was on the table in relation to postpartum depression. However, it was later suspended because negotiations on two products often take too long, and we wanted to close the deal as fast as we could to expedite SAGE 217. Ever since then, however, we have continued discussing SAGE's pipeline products, including brexanolone. Thank you very much. Thank you for your presentation. I am Arai from Merrill Lynch Japan Securities. I have two questions. First, regarding the actual amount of HIV royalty in the first half, you mentioned that it narrowly missed the target. Was that because of the price, which was suppressed more than expected, or because of the quantity? Could you sort things out for me? The yen slightly appreciated compared to the British pound or GBP. We optimistically expected that the yen to be traded at around 150 to the GBP, but was actually traded at 146 instead. Although the GBP-based figure was almost on track, the yen-based amount fell short of the target, simply because of the exchange rate. Does that mean you did not reduce the price to beat Gilead? As you are probably aware, the prices for Trumec have been set lower than those of the Gilead product. This situation has remained unchanged. I see. My second question. You mentioned that HIV business is expected to grow 10% next year. What is the breakdown of that 10%? Will it be through price increase for the existing drugs or volume growth for the two drug regimen? Could you give us your rough estimation? The 3TC combination drug will only be launched after mid-2019. Around 10% growth was calculated based on the assumptions that the current HIV franchise system will be maintained and that markets continue to grow with a slight increase in our share. As for the price, things are highly unpredictable, especially under the Trump administration. Frankly speaking, Gilead does not have much flexibility. We can provide a 3TC combination at a price of dolutegravir and plus alpha for both naive and experienced patients. In such case, we believe that we can increase our share from the current 25% to somewhere close to 40%. These are the factors behind the expected growth. In addition, cabotegravir has just generated excellent data on Latitude 160-week. In that sense, we are gradually dispelling market concerns, such as the fear of developing resistance. As Mr. Sakai pointed out, however, because it is a separate two-shot intramuscular injection with a large injection amount, it may discourage some HIV patients from taking the injectable. So, obviously, we cannot win all market. If we look at the case for Risperdal LA, bimonthly injectables can enhance convenience for patients. Price-wise, we will be able to maintain the same level of price as the three-drug regimen that is currently available due to the enhanced convenience. Therefore, we can be price-wise aggressive when we launch the product. I am Akahane from Tokai Tokyo Securities. I have one question regarding the strategic investment of 20 billion you mentioned earlier. I made a telephone inquiry on Roto's regenerative medicine, and I was told to back calculate from your budget because it cannot be disclosed. Currently, you are hoarding substantial amount of cash with the successful HIV and influenza businesses. Are you planning to use cash for the strategic investment? That is a very difficult question. As of the end of September, capital adequacy ratio rose to 86.6%. We have $3 billion, or 300 billion yen, readily available in cash. We have not been very active in pursuing M&A in the past, but we have come this far. When Mr. Seki asked our plan beyond 2020, I intentionally withheld my comment on possible M&A. However, we have reached a stage where we must consider some options if they would contribute positively to top line. Of course, nothing has been set in stone or even under negotiation. However, that is a subject that we must consider to take Shionogi to a new level. You just mentioned top line. Your slide reads, expanding pipeline for launches and introducing new technologies. Both of these would take a long period of time. Instead of seeking quick wins to grow top line, you are actually looking for something beyond short-term results. Do I understand incorrectly? You're right as far as the strategic investment for this fiscal year is concerned. We can allocate another 5 billion yen in the second half, and for that, we will maintain our current investment approach, which focuses on new technologies, potential seeds, and R&D functional enhancements. On top of that, I just wanted to highlight that we need to start exploring some other options. Once again, you invested in Roto's regenerative medicine in the first half, and you will spend another 5 billion yen. Can I understand it as your minimum investment commitment? We are in negotiation with several pipelines from early phase to clinically ready phase. Once again, acquiring a U.S. venture firm for a few billion dollars is an approach taken by a company with very slim pipeline, and that does not suit Shionogi, who has its own robust R&D. As you mentioned, we focus on technologies and early phase pipelines in this fiscal year. We are currently negotiating with at least four pipelines at early phase, where the earmarked 5 billion yen will be spent. I understand. Thank you very much. We would like to conclude our briefing. Thank you very much.